Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, and I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, when you think of the role of pastor, what words come to mind? Shepherd, leader, preacher, business manager, counselor, accessible 24/7? Well, too often we expect too much from our pastors. They are human beings with limitations like the rest of us, yet we need and we count on their leadership. In fact, Scripture calls us to honor our leaders and to pray for them. But when we put unrealistic demands on our pastors, when we expect more than we should, we set them up for burnout. For the first half of today's show, I'll talk with Brian Cluth to talk about creative ways to encourage and bless your pastor. But here's an important note. We recorded this interview some time ago before the COVID crisis, so you may find that some of Brian's suggestions simply just are not possible at this time. But I believe if you're creative, you will find a way to encourage and bless your pastor and their families. They need it. They're working harder than ever right now. Second half, I'll be joined by Global Outreach President Jeff Gowler to hear some great news about the gospel and how it's changing lives all over the world. A couple of quick announcements. Do not miss tonight's live stream event with Bill Arnold and his friends Peter Kapsner and Jim Bilby. I'm telling you, it's going to be an entertaining and equipping evening. You can join the live stream by clicking on the link on our homepage at myfaithradio.com. Also, we're giving away two copies of the Max Lucado Encouraging Word Bible Study every week. And this is an amazing Bible because all the study notes reflect just the rhythm and the way that Max writes. You can sign up to win at myfaithradio.com. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Brian Cluth is a popular author and speaker on living generously. He's written several books and devotionals on the topic, and he also is a former pastor. He now works at the National Association of Evangelicals to help improve the financial health of pastors and churches across America. Brian, good to talk with you again.
Hey, Susie. Great to be on with you and your listeners, and we really do want to give them some encouragement and creative ideas on how they can bless their pastor and their church staff and really love on them well.
Very good. Well, we love to start by talking scripture. Wondering if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
Yeah, I think 1 Thessalonians 5:12 really summarizes what we want to talk about here today. And 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "Men and women or brothers and sisters, show your deep appreciation for those who minister among you." So God's call for everyone listening right now is that each person listening would really think about how has God blessed them so that they can be a blessing to their pastor and staff. I mean, what gifts do they have? What abilities do they have? What resources? What possessions? What skills? What can every Christian listening do to bless their pastor and church staff?
Well, let's back up a little bit. You were a pastor, I think, for about 10 years. Talk about that journey, what it was like for you.
Yeah, I was in a different career field. I was a CEO of a nonprofit organization, and when God called me to be a pastor at 45 years of age, and I had a young family, I think my kids at the time were probably 4, 6, and 8, and I took a $70,000 pay cut to move my family 1,000 miles from the Midwest to Colorado, which was a great place to go to. But we suddenly had far less income than we ever had, than we had had in many years. But here's what I discovered. Because my church loved me so well, me, my wife, my family, you know, the pain and the strain of losing all that income, it didn't hurt as much because people really did so many things to help care for us and support us and encourage us and serve us. So it was really life-changing and life-giving when, you know, we had people that really blessed us and did it so intentionally and beyond the paycheck. I mean, so beyond, you know, a church paycheck, what someone can pay a pastor, I'm talking about creative things Christians can do to serve and bless a pastor.
Well, what about some of the harder parts of that role that maybe people don't know that you would like people to know? If maybe they are just looking from the outside in, they see this standard, they see what may look like, you know, sometimes I think we put this, I don't know, this what's the word I'm looking for? Something on our pastor where we put them on a pedestal and think there's perfection there. They're in a spiritual level that we can't understand. They're untouchable. But we don't know that they get discouraged. They get depressed. They have sleepless nights. They worry about their kids. They have fights with their wife. I mean, those real things happen, but I think we forget about that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize how demanding it is. Most people work a job, and they may work full-time, and they may have some overtime. Well, pastors work all the time. The myth is, pastors work one day a week, only on Sundays. But the reality is that they work every day of the week. They often have morning meetings. I know as a pastor, I had elder meetings at 6:30 in the morning. Then you worked all day, and then sometimes you had counseling in the evening or committee meetings. Then you had weekends, then you had funerals, and then you had the worship services. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So the average pastor, studies show, work 50 to 70-plus hours a week. And yet the average pastor in America makes $50,000 or less per year. And no benefit, 60% receive no benefits, no health care, no retirement, no employee benefits. There's so many things that people aren't aware of. The average Christian just doesn't realize the financial strain and struggle that the majority of pastors have. I mean, yes, there are those mega church pastors, celebrity pastors, but 80% of pastors serve in churches of under 200 people. So, yeah, there may be those big wig pastors out there, but that's not the average pastor in America today.
80% of pastors serve churches of under 200 people?
Yeah, and 55% under 100, and only 1% of pastors are in churches of 1,000 or more. So you were talking the shepherds of God's people in America today are in the highways and byways, the rural communities, the small communities, the urban settings, with 50 or 100 or 120, 150 people, and working very, very hard to love and care for their congregation well. And most of the pastors I know are very faithful servants, humble servants that do their very best and don't talk about their own needs very often. And it's very difficult to talk about their own needs. I mean, that's one of the problems is they can't say anything. If they say anything about their struggles or their financial challenges, they don't receive it well. So most pastors are just kind of quietly suffering in silence, the pastor and the spouse, trying to grapple with the challenges that they and their families face.
What do retired pastors typically do if they don't have any retirement? How do they survive?
Some just stay in their churches a long time because they have nowhere to go. So they'll be there, they'll be 70, 75, 80 years old, and maybe the church is in some small community and they give them a parsonage, so they just stay. Sometimes they'll go move in with family. That's probably a pretty common thing. It's very much a real struggle. Yeah, but most churches, the average church in America has a budget of $125,000 or less. So when you take $125,000 or less and you try to take care of the buildings and give to missions and have youth programs and pay the pastor, $125,000 or less doesn't go very far. So that's one of the challenges that's happening is there's just not a lot of money to go around. But that's why the Bless Your Pastor is so important, because we're not talking about the church budget. We're talking about the Christians in the church and what they can do, personally do to love on their pastor and staff.
How was this Bless Your Pastor initiative born?
Well, it came out of a Lilly Endowment in Indianapolis, saw that across America, across all denominations and affiliations of churches and pastors, there are real financial struggles. So they gave the NAE $1 million grant, and then they've given us more grants to improve the financial health of ministers in America. So we have financial health training for church boards and for pastors. But then we started the Bless Your Pastor movement with free materials that every Christian and every church in America can get access to. And what's really cool is we have this list of 50 ways to bless your pastor. It's at the blessyourpastor.org website, this list of 50 ways. So if anybody gets that and they distribute that at their church, and we encourage them to take an appreciation offering for the pastor or the pastor and staff, if they do that and let us know, we'll actually send their pastor a $150 gift card. So it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Get the free materials, distribute the 50 Ways list, let us know, and we'll bless your pastor with a $150 gift card. So anybody listening can do that. So everybody listening could be part of the movement to bless pastors.
Well, we'll pause here. I printed up the 50 creative ways to bless your pastor and staff, so we're going to walk through a number of those, talking to Brian Kluth today, and so appreciate you listening, and I really appreciate you appreciating your pastor. You know, again, we can pick them apart. We can critique their sermons. We have no idea what it is to carry the burdens they carry, to walk in their shoes. And we're one of many. And wow, what would happen if we stepped back and said, Lord, I don't know what their call costs them, but they're carrying a burden that I can't fathom. So Lord, have their back. Go before them. Put your hand of blessing on their head and give me divine strategy so I know how to stand in the gap and pray for them and their family. I'll talk more with Brian Kluth about 50 ways to bless your pastor when we return. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the Thanks so much for tuning in Middays. I'm Susie Larson. And if you're listening today and you're a pastor, you're on a pastoral staff, even if you're a volunteer in one of the ministries at church, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for loving Jesus, for loving people well. Forgiving of your time. I want you to know God sees every nuance, everything that your call costs you. He sees, he rewards, and we appreciate it. Talking to Brian Kluth today, he works for the National Association of Evangelicals to help improve the financial health of pastors and churches across America. And he, along with a team, have launched an initiative, 50 Ways to Bless Your Pastor. We need to support our leaders, our pastors. Let them know what we think of them. Brian, do you have a favorite? I'm looking at this this sheet that I printed off your website, Faithfully Pray, Acts of Kindness, Freely Share. We'll go through some of these, but of all of these ideas, is there one that you kind of go to again and again?
Well, I think the one that's the easiest for everybody listening, and bless every pastor and church staff member in America, is when you're going through the line at Walmart or Target or the grocery store or whatever, get a gift card. Just pick a gift card, any amount, and bless your pastor and staff. And if you put it a little note with it, you know, just say, hey, how much I appreciate you, we love you, whatever. Gift cards are the easiest way, and they lighten the financial burden to the pastor and the family, but they also, you know, they just communicate love. When I've gotten those, and I had a wife who had cancer for 8 years, and people would give those to us so she didn't have to shop and prepare, you know, meals and clean up. We had a stack of gift cards, and we just felt loved. We felt cared for and provided for and taken care of, and gift cards are just a marvelous way, and everybody listening can do that. You're just going through the line, just get a gift card, put a note with it, bless your pastor. You can do it from your phone. You can send them a Starbucks, you know, e-gift card from your phone, or Amazon, you know, send them an Amazon gift card. It's very easy to do, but it's a great way to bless your pastor and make them feel loved and bless them financially.
All right. So let's look at some of these ways to bless your pastor is to pray. Let's talk about that. I don't know if you have your list in front of you, but pray for them that they would have intimacy with God. Pray for marital love and unity, for spiritual protection. Talk a little bit more about some of these creative ways to pray for your pastor.
Yeah, the story on that is I had a woman in my church. Her name was Pat Hardiman, dear Christian lady, and she was in her 80s, and she would come to me every year, and she would have this list, and she would say, Pastor, I'm praying for you every day. You know, what else do I need to be praying for you? So I literally knew I had Pat praying for me every day. And just knowing that that was happening and know that she was praying for that intimacy with God, for my marital unity, for my parenting skills, for my time management, for our friendship, for financial provisions. You know, there was just kind of always this little thing in the back of my mind. Hey, Pat's praying for me today. And to know that was really, really special. So everybody listening, you can get that list. You can keep it in your Bible and you can use it as a bookmark and you can pray for your pastor. You know, pick one thing a day from there's 16 on that list. So or you could pick, you know, six, you know, one thing a day and pray that item for your pastor, and you will bless your pastor. And I always tell people, you know, pastors need prayer and people need practice. So if you want a better pastor, pray for the one you've got.
Well, if you want a better pastor, pray for the one you've got. That's good. One of the things that jumped out on that list was genuine friendships. I don't remember what the stat is, but it's pretty alarming. I wish I could remember the stat, but how few pastors have true, genuine friendships. Now, one is sometimes pastors are afraid to let themselves be known. In others, it's hard to trust because maybe they've trusted someone and been burned by it. But isolation is so dangerous when you're doing God's work and you're overworked. Talk about the need and the importance of genuine friendships.
Yeah, genuine friendship is important. It gets into another way you can bless a pastor. I had people that say, "Hey, Brian, why don't you come to the Air Force Football Academy game? You know, Air Force Academy football game with us." Or, "Hey, we're going to a hockey game. Want you to come along." So, or another friend took me hunting one time, and I didn't have all the equipment, but he made sure I had everything. You know, I got outfitted and everything I needed. And, you know, others took us to a play and, you know, people take us to their vacation home or get us ski passes. And those kind of relational friendship kinds of things really mattered. And so I was so grateful for people that just kind of involved us on a friendship level, because here's the truth. Most pastors can't afford the tickets for all of the things I just said. They can't afford it. So they don't do it. And so the only way they get to do things like I just talked about, you know, going to a sporting event or going to a musical event or, you know, anything like that, you know, the hunting, whatever it is, if someone else steps up, we went skiing, they got us passes, you know, we could do things on a friendship level because somebody stepped up and kind of made it possible. So that's a great way to serve and bless your pastor and church staff.
I would imagine too on our side, it's probably tempting to think they wouldn't want to go to a ball game with me. You know what? Again, if we put them unduly on a pedestal, and if we kind of put them in a position where they're untouchable, we won't approach them to do some of those fun things. But you talk about what that meant to you. People invite you to dinner, invite you to a ball game. Yeah. So we've got to get that stigma out of our head, don't we?
Yeah, you really do. And just being there to, you know, care for the pastors. You know, the scripture talks about obeying your spiritual authorities in life, but the word obey there, it's actually the Greek word is actually like make friendships with. It's actually be in relationship with. So it's not just this kind of weird authoritarian obedience kind of a situation. It's be in a supportive relationship with your pastor. And some of that's done on a friendship level, on a social level. And so there's a real place to do that. Now, the bigger the church, the more difficult it is. The smaller the church is, the easier it is. Just as far as, you know, if a bigger church pastor had 100 people come up to him and say, "Hey, I want to take you to dinner," that's not going to work. But the smaller the church, the more that's going to be, you know, more possible and more accessible, that pastor.
One of the gifts you offer or suggest that we offer is the gift of freedom. And I read these two bullet points. Give their spouses the freedom to be themselves and to find their own niche at church, and let their children be kids, care about them and pray for them. Again, the pressure we can put on pastors' kids is not good for anybody.
Yeah, it's challenging. I was talking to my son the other day. He's at Moody Bible Institute. He's a senior. And he's always had a bit of he's been hard on himself. And I said to him, just actually like last month, he was 23 years old, and I said, "Why are you so hard on yourself sometimes?" He said, "Well, I was a pastor's kid, and, you know, I knew I needed to be perfect." And I was like, "Jeremy, did I do that?" And he said, "No, Dad, you didn't do that, but I just felt I needed to be that." And it was just interesting that for a PK, a pastor's kid, a preacher's kid, there's just a subtle pressure that they have to kind of, you know, they have to, you know, perform, or they have to do well, or they're an embarrassment to the family. And so I don't think my church put that on Jeremy, or Jeremy said I didn't put it on him, but, you know, pastors' kids feel that. And for some pastors' kids, it's really, really hard.
You talked a bit about just the Food Fellowship Fund, invite them to outings. Talk, if you would, a little bit more about finances. You talk about helping with college tuition, helping with student loan debt. I mean, some people have the means to really step in that way, and it would be a great gift.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple examples of that. So so recently in my church, the worship pastor and his wife, she's our family ministries director, they wanted to have a party for their one-year-old. They're only in their 20s, party for their one-year-old. They didn't have a big enough house. So we offered our house. We said, hey, you can have all your friends at our house. So we had 40, so we had 40 people at our house, all right? So that was another thing we could do to bless our pastor. And, you know, one of our pastors and staff was we opened our home and we let them use it. So we did that. But for the birthday for the one-year-old, we gave her a gift for her college fund, her 529 college fund. Now, I'm sure her parents in their early 20s weren't even thinking about a college fund for their one-year-old. But we gave a gift and said, this money will turn, you know, this money will turn almost four times greater in 17 more years if you put it in a college fund. So that was an example of something we could do as a couple to bless our pastor's family. But also, most people don't realize this, 30% of pastors are carrying student loan debt, $36,000 is the average, some more, some less. And it's a secret and it's a burden that they carry because they're often on a low salary. And there, I truly believe there, Susie, you know, I think you did some things in the past, the big give. You know, one of the greatest big gives people could do, there's some people that could themselves or organize with some others. You could find out the college, the student loan debt of a pastor and wipe it out and literally, you know, work with some people and knock out that debt. I knew of one church that did something like that, and it was life changing for that pastor. They thought they were going to be, you know, paying it for decades, and people stepped up and stepped around them and helped pay it off. And wow, what a miracle. What an incredible miracle. And in every church, there's people that do have surplus resources that could absolutely bless a pastor. And that would be truly a big give.
Talk about being a necessary miracle. If they've got the double burden of student loans and no retirement, and yet they're caring for the needs all around them and not often able to share what their own needs are, that is some pretty significant pressure. So the idea of just being able to find out what their needs are. I mean, you also offer babysitting, auto maintenance repair, home projects, decorating. Maybe you're good at wallpapering, but to step in and say, I got this gift. Can I help and put it to use in any way? Haircuts, beauty treatments, tutoring lessons for children. These are just fantastic. And one last thing before we wrap today, you talk about paying it forward. Just got about a minute here. But you say, do what you can also to pay it forward, passing along possessions you no longer use or need. Items could be appliances, furniture, musical equipment. Say a word about paying it forward.
Yeah, I recently sold a vacation home we had that was furnished, and we were getting rid of everything in the home, and I gave pictures of everything to the pastor. I said, Pastor, you take anything you want. Anything you want that we have, you are free to have it. And he picked out some things that they wanted, and he was blessed, you know. And so and my son's a contractor, does fence work. So recently we went over to the pastor's house and literally pressure washed and stained his fence. And it would have cost him $1,200, and it was a gift from us, from our family to his. So there's so many things that people can do when they get this list of 50 ways, and then they share it with their church. And boy, the untold blessings that could come will be amazing as this 50 ways list gets passed out in the congregation.
And the website is blessyourpastor.org. Is that right?
That's right. Blessyourpastor.org.
Okay.
Get the free materials and do it. And we'll get your pastor a $150 gift card too.
Fantastic. Thanks for the time. Thanks for all you're doing for pastors. Thank you for listening today. Blessyourpastor.org.
I feel my heart about to break. I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock.
Welcome back to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, always honored to get to spend this time with you. As you know, we are living through a global pandemic, and our lives will never be the same after this season passes. And I want to know, you know, where's your focus? We have to talk about this a lot, because you notice if you focus too much on the bad news, you can forget about the potency and the power of the good news. And I just want to ask, you know, who do you want to be when this thing is over? I know for me, this has really confronted excesses and comforts, things that we take so for granted. I want so much to come through this with more focus, a heightened sensitivity and discernment about the needs around me, things that I can live without so others can know Jesus more. Well, I'm excited about today's conversation because you got to make no mistake about it. Right now, there is an increased spiritual hunger all around us. We've got an encouraging conversation up ahead, so I want to jump right in. Let me tell you about my guest. We will get him on the show. Jeff Goller is president of Global Media Outreach, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ through the power of the internet with a local staff based in Texas. With over 35 years of strategic business development experience, he has served in both the for-profit and non-for-profit sectors, as well as being an entrepreneur. Starting three companies, he and his wife, Kathy, have two children, and they're so blessed. Wow, seven grandchildren. Jeff, welcome to the show. So good to meet you.
Hey, thanks, Susie. Nice to be here.
Looking forward to the conversation, and we love to start every day talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a verse you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Wow. Yeah, there is. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And you know, that verse for me, especially recently, be still and know that I'm God, when we're searching, trying to figure out what do we need to do during this time. But then also with what we do at Global Media Outreach, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's exactly what we're trying to do, is exalt the name of Jesus around the world.
I can't wait for people to know about this ministry if they don't already. It is a marvel. In fact, you want to check out their website, globalmediaoutreach.com. You will see a live count of gospel visits, of indicated decisions, and the number live just keeps ticking upward. It is absolutely amazing, and we'll talk about that number. In fact, even right now, the indicated decisions are 227 million. Is that right? 925,893. Is that right?
It's a lot.
Right? Yes. No, 227. Yeah. Anyway, lots of decisions. Yeah. And that thing is climbing upward. It's absolutely amazing. 1 million visits. Sorry about that. Let's start here, though. I love a little backstory on your faith journey, how you came to Christ, and how God gave you really a heart for the world.
Wow. It's a long story. It goes all the way back to church camp back when I was a kid. But gave my life to Christ, really felt like he was calling me into the ministry, really. I felt like that. Years later, I ended up going to Northwestern College, it was called then, right there where you are. And wow. Me and my wife, we met there in 1975. Went there, and when I signed up for a major, I signed up for ministry, still not knowing what exactly I was going to do. But ended up going the business side of things for years. Until I finally got an opportunity back about 8 years ago or so to start really getting into ministry and ministry around the world, reaching people for Christ around the world. And that's really been where I've been for the last 8 years, is really going out and sharing Jesus around the world with different ministries. But it's been just a great time to be able to do that.
Man, well, talk about Global Media Outreach. I remember the day that my boss, Neil Staven, called me in his office. This was before social distancing. And he said, you've got to see this. And he pulled up Global Media Outreach's website. And I gasped. It's like, what an idea to have this live counter. Talk about the ministry and about that live counter.
Well, we've been going for about 15 years. We actually went into this year wanting to just really take some time and celebrate 15 years of ministry. And what that's done, and we're actually going to reach our 2 billionth person here next month. And we thought, wow, this is going to be great. We just get to go back and just kind of show people what's happened around the world, really, in proclaiming Christ. And we're excited about that. Did not realize what was going to happen just a couple short months later. We reach about 350,000 people a day. That's what it's been typically. And with COVID coming on, what we do is share a message of hope. No matter what you're concerned with, whether it's divorce, financial problems, whatever it is, the answer, ultimately is Jesus. It always comes down to Jesus. And so we want to be able to be there when people are looking for answers and be able to share Jesus with them. You know, when COVID came up and all that started happening, we said, we're not going to slow down. Matter of fact, we're going to put our foot on the gas pedal.
That's right.
And since that time, we, instead of reaching 150,000, we're actually reaching about 550,000 people a day right now. We'll see about 65,000 people indicate a decision for Christ. And it's just been an exciting, exciting time. So when you do look at that counter, if you went to the website, globalmediaoutreach.com, and go to Watch It Live. Anybody can watch that map and just see the dots going on there. And, you know, one of the things that we see, we see that thing all the time because it's in our office, so we'll see it. But when you actually put faces on those dots, boy, does that ever change things. All around the world, people hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, and that it just does something to you when you see that.
Hmm. Yeah, these are lives being changed. How do they find your website?
They're actually searching. So we could either catch their attention through a banner ad, or we can do some interruptive advertising where we'll do pop-ups. But for the most part, it's going to be someone is searching for answers for hope around the world, or they're looking for divorce answers for divorce, their marital issues, financial issues, just right now, the top keywords that we're focusing on now is fear, anxiety, and uncertainty of the future. And people around the world will be searching for those a lot of times in the evening after the work's done, and they're looking for answers. And when they go to one of those sites, we've got about 110 different websites around the world. They will ultimately land on one of those. And at the end of that discussion that they'll see will be basically a four spiritual laws, a gospel presentation, and an invitation to accept Christ, to pray a prayer of salvation.
So you also have online missionaries as well. Talk about that.
Well, we've got 3,500 online missionaries, all volunteers from all around the world. About a third of those are overseas, and about two-thirds of them are here in the United States. We minister in the top 12 internet languages, but they actually respond in about 40 different languages all around the world, in every nation. So, you know, we've got 750,000 different seekers that have been in a relationship with an online missionary for a year or longer right now. So they actually do go pretty deep into a relationship.
How do they connect? So they're seeking further help. You connect them with an online missionary. How do they share this ongoing relationship? Through Zoom, through email, through phone, or how do they do that?
It's pretty much all email right now at this point. They'll just start emailing back and forth, and they'll just have conversations. So when you're looking at that map, you'll see that it would say a gospel presentation. They heard a gospel presentation. They indicated a decision. As soon as they indicate a decision, we ask each one of them individually. We'll ask them the question, would you like to know more? And if they want to know more, they provide contact information, and then we connect them with an online missionary. Throughout their whole journey, is there, however deep they end up going through discipleship or even trying to end up in a community of believers, that same online missionary will follow them in the relationship no matter how long it goes, whether it's a one-time conversation or if it goes on for 10 years. So they actually start developing a relationship in there. We record every one of those conversations so we know exactly what they're talking about. It's real interesting how deep some of them can go, and so quickly.
Hmm. Wow. If someone wanted to be an online missionary, just like the dream of reaching the world from their home, especially during this quarantine time, but felt, you know, incredibly intimidated by that, what does it entail, and who's qualified to do such a thing?
Well, you end up going to globalmediaoutreach.com, and we've got a site there on the site, and it's ways that you could be involved. We run people through a test first, a spirituality test, to find out where they are and kind of what their background is. About 30% of the people that apply, we don't accept because we're pretty particular about who comes in there. And then you go through a training program, and then of course you have a mentor that works with you for a while. And then when they feel like you're ready, they'll let you go out on your own. So it's really a cool program. You don't have to spend 8 hours a day. You can come in and just spend a little bit of time. We've got some people. I've got one lady that I met out in California, and I was actually talking to her. Her phone went off at about noon, and she held it up to me and said, "I've got to go. I need to be an online missionary during my lunch break." So she had an alarm set for 12 o'clock, and during lunch, that's what she would do. I've got another guy that 5 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning, he's an online missionary. Then he goes to work. So people do it all different ways, all different times.
Absolutely amazing. And talk before the COVID crisis, you said you had an average of how many gospel visits, how many indicated decisions?
It was about 350,000 people a day going right before the COVID crisis, and about 50,000 of those were indicating a decision. That shifted to about 500 to 550,000 people a day, with about 65,000 people a day indicating a decision. You know, here's another really cool thing that we've seen happen. You know, everyone's searching for hope, everyone. But they're searching for hope, but they're hungry for the Word. And so we were looking at that. We were saying, how can we get the Bible into more people's hands? So we actually started offering a digital copy of the Bible in case people were going to pop off of the site. You know, a lot of times they'll go off the site without making a decision. So we'll actually do a pop-up, an exit pop-up, and we offered them a free Bible. Well, our partner that does Bible distribution, they were getting about 800 or so Bible downloads a day on their website. And I asked him if we could start doing, can we use your Bible and offer it to people to download, get off our site? Because even if they don't want to make a decision, we still want the Word in their hands. So they of course said, yeah, let's do it. So we flipped the switch on that. And the first day they went from 800 downloads to 3,800 downloads.
Oh, wow.
And it's been going at about 3,000 a day since then. That'll be over a million copies of the Bible digitally downloaded just because two organizations decided to partner together. It cost us nothing. It cost them nothing. But the kingdom is benefiting, and so are the seekers that are getting the Word in their hand. So,
wow. It's
exciting.
How many
things.
Downloads a day right now, you said, of the Bible, approximately?
About 3,000.
Think about that, friends. Those numbers are mind-boggling. Wow. Well, when we come back, we got to pause here. When we come back, I'd love for you to just, if you have a story to share of a changed life, but also would love to know a little bit more about some of the conversations that are happening in these mentor relationships, because I really think it's testament of the questions that many people have these days. And how are we navigating this? Because people all around us are battling fear, anxiety, wondering, how am I going to make it? Lots of questions right now. We want to be equipped to answer them. I am talking to Jeff Gowler. He's president of Global Media Outreach. And during the break, if you're able, you got to hop on the website and watch this live count, because behind every number is a person. These gospel visits, as just before my eyes, have jumped up. I'm just in awe. I'm in awe. We'll be back in a moment. You're my girl. Thank you. We'll trust you, Lord. Welcome to Middays. I'm talking to Jeff Gowler today, president of Global Media Outreach, and just felt like it was a really important conversation today. And you got to visit the website, globalmediaoutreach.com. It's absolutely amazing, the worldwide impact this digital ministry is making. And it's 15 years old. It feels like you guys were way ahead of your time, Jeff, because so much needs to be online right now. And I just think that the churches who are already there are probably so grateful that they had the infrastructure, and others are probably scrambling. God bless them. But I want you to speak to that. I mean, the vision for Global Media Outreach 15 years ago, say a bit about just how that was born.
Well, our founder actually was one of the first project managers for Apple Computer with Steve Jobs. And so he had that technological background. And then he then went on to be a consultant with another company, Computer Science Corporation. And they were actually over at MIT trying to discuss, what do you do with the World Wide Web when it was first coming on board? And they were trying to figure out a way to monetize it. And he said, right about that time, I just felt like the Holy Spirit came over me and said, you're going to use this to reach the world. And he said, as quick as I heard that in my mind, I was back in the meeting and we were just going. But he said, that changed my life. He said, I went back and I said, okay, I need to, he went back home and told his wife, I think I need to quit my job. And wow. He said, well, we need to reach the world. And so over the next few years, he actually started working on that. It was tough. It was a tough road there for a while, because people are, you can't use technology to reach the world. You can't tell them about Jesus through technology. It's got to be this personal thing, one-on-one. And so it was a rough road for a while. But man, more and more as technology comes more and more onto the scene. And we're seeing that now with churches that, like you just said, the ones that have been able to adapt are really, really doing well right now. You're seeing churches that are getting 3, 4, 5 times the amount of people watching their services now than they could when people could go to their service. That's kind of what happened here. You know, as people started to believe more in the internet and more that's where they're looking for their answers. Boy, I tell you what, it's just exploded. And it's really been interesting to watch and really have, you know, there's a lot of people that have been just asking us those same questions because it's really just taken off so quickly.
I'm trying to get my mind around 3,000 Bible downloads a day. I mean, that's like a mega church every day worth of people. Do you know what I'm saying? Of people who are seeking and want the word, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, this is a day of spiritual hunger. But it sure makes you thankful for entrepreneurial type people. And I know, I just believe that in this time, we're going to see those believers who have this forward-thinking mindset, an entrepreneurial mindset, to rise up out of the ashes of this time and find innovative ways to reach the people, because the gospel is going to keep going. And I don't know, Jeff, I think we're going to be doing church. I want people, of course, to get back when we can to congregate together. But I think the spiritual connection online, I think, is going to keep growing. I think it's one of the ways we are going to reach the world for Jesus. What do you think?
Well, I think that's exactly right, especially in some of the harder to reach areas. We're seeing tremendous results in Iraq, in Iran. And we've actually got one of our teams. We have a team in Beirut in Lebanon that works with us in Arabic and Farsi, Turkish, Urdu. And they really are working hard in that whole Middle East area where it's very, very difficult to go and knock on someone's door or have church in the open. We're able to minister to people, thousands of them every day. And the results that we're seeing over there are just really, you probably wouldn't believe them unless you actually saw them. So I think there is always going to be a place, and you know, God's always used the technology of the day, whatever that is, you know, to reach people. You know, back in the early days, it was people walking on the Roman road in dusty sandals, one-on-one. Then we ended up going to where the Bible, the printing press came, and then we had the big stadium events that were going. We've got radio, we've got TV. Now we have the internet, and we've got a different kind of technology, and even what we're doing now in a short period of time will probably be obsolete. But right now, while the door's open, we just need to get through it.
Amen. And so the thing is, you've got this infrastructure to reach the world. You need help as far as how do you need help? How can people help you?
Well, there's a couple
I'm
things.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, that's going to be one of them. You know, but you know, really prayer support. You know, that we're wise in what we do, that we're wise in how we spend the resources that we've got, that we are looking for opportunity. So that's one. Volunteering is another one, whether online missionary, if someone would want to do that, or partnering financially. It's really interesting. We reach people, and we have for years, for less than a dime per person. So the cost of actually reaching someone is very inexpensive over the internet, and with the competition in the internet with all the different platforms that are out there, the cost is actually going down. So there's opportunity right now that's just opening daily, you know, new opportunities daily.
Before the crisis, did you see hot spots where there was, you know, focused interest on the gospel, and has that changed since the crisis? Oh, my goodness. I just lost our guest. I wanted an answer to that question as well. Well, we're going to call him back. But I think let me think here. You know, we just got to love this radio. Kim, if you're able, why don't you pull up the song from River Valley, The World Needs Jesus. Let's play a portion of that as we work to get our guest back.
Because we know our world needs Jesus. Give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken, and let our lives align with every word you say. When the nations hate,
Don't you love live radio? Those things happen sometimes. Great little portion of that song that we might revisit here in a couple of minutes. We lost Jeff, but we've got him back. Hey, Jeff, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Well, you know, that's what goes on with technology, I guess.
It sure does, yes, and you keep on going. So I don't know if you heard my question, but I am actually very curious. Did you identify hot spots where there was gospel interest before COVID, and has that changed since this crisis?
You know, we've just noticed a general increase all over the world. You know, we hear the news all the time, and we keep on thinking sometimes that this is a U.S. thing because we get so focused on what we're doing here. But really, it's all around the world, and we're seeing just a spike in receptivity all over the world. There's really not a spot that is not increased by double digits.
Hmm. Is there a story that's dear to your heart of just someone who's come to Christ that you've heard about?
You know, there's so many. You can do the short ones where you've responded to someone and they just come back with a comment like, "You are the only Christian I have ever met.
Wow.
Can you tell me more about Jesus?" And then you've got the other ones that, "I got your message. I put down the gun." And
wow.
You're just like, what? You got to be kidding. You know, you don't realize how deep these messages go out, how deep their feelings are until you actually start communicating with people. And they tend to happen at just the right time. Isn't that how God always is? Just the right time. We've got one that just recently, a guy named Nasser, and he was from Egypt, and he's a Muslim, and we got messages from him, and he's knowing a little bit about Jesus. He's hearing about Isa, Jesus, that he did many miracles, and he wants to know more because his faith, Muslim faith, there's no one that's doing that. There's no personal contact in there, and he started taking some lessons that we had, some Bible lessons. And he started to, his life, he said, started to change. And he was thanking the online missionary. And he would get back to him every couple of days and just say, "Thank you, thank you. I'm learning so much about Jesus." After a few days, he said, he ended up saying, "Hey, I want to go to a church. Can you help me find a church?" Well, we had some of our people in Beirut get a hold of a church where he was. And they found a church that he could go to. He started going to the church. And he says, "Now I'm experiencing real joy." And he said, "Can you please contact my wife so that she too can learn about your Jesus?"
Wow.
And now he's sharing his faith. So there, it's reproducing. And those are the exciting stories. Yeah, we can reach people. We can't reach them all. But boy, as they start to reproduce, boy, that's when it gets exciting.
Man. Just got about a minute left, but I'm just so curious about, do you find some common components to these online missionary conversations? Are they really all over the map?
They are all over the map. You know, all over the map. I mean, people, like I said before at the very beginning, it all boils down to they're looking for hope. But where that on-ramp is, it's all over the place. And one of our biggest sites really is Arabic women's site that we've got, wondering, you know, what is in this for me? I've got a Muslim husband. I'm the second wife, the third wife. Am I going to have a husband? Huge concerns there. And they're looking for anything they can find. They're just grasping for hope. And, of course, we can offer them the hope in Jesus. So those are some of the big stories that we hear, and we hear them a lot.
Well, you heard it, friends. I mean, you think about the spiritual hunger that's increased. You've got these how many websites all over the world that kind of feed into global media outreach? How many again?
About 110.
So you're out there, and you've got spiritual hunger, and you've got people responding, so they need online missionaries. If you feel like you could commit some time online to minister and mentor someone who's seeking and hungry, you got to go to global media outreach. If you're a prayer, pray for this ministry. And if you're able to sow some seeds, do that as well. Jeff, thank you for what you're doing. And I just thank you for the innovation. And friends, you've got to visit the website. You'll know that there's faces and hearts and stories behind these numbers. Bless you for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie. Really appreciate it.
That was Jeff Gowler, president of Global Media Outreach. The world needs Jesus, and he is the hope of the earth. We all know it. We all believe it. And as he said here at Faith Radio, we're doing the same thing. We're not pulling up. We're putting our foot on the gas. The rest of the world needs to know this great news. Hope you found some encouragement here today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And never miss a show.